Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome from Fort Myers, Florida, MMA Exposed. The good, the bad,
and the ugly.
Tonight we have a good show lined up for you. We have Tyler Minton. He's going to be on. We're going to hopefully he's going to put the road path out for these amateurs looking to go to pro. He's been in three Ultimate Fighters. This is his third attempt. And in the first one, he was actually injured due to an eye injury. The second time, he had high blood pressure. The doctor wouldn't clear him. And now this is his third attempt. So we'll have him online later on. I wanted to go over a few things first. The show is basically going to be made of is the good. And what the good's going to be about is bringing somebody who does good deeds to the MMA industry. Whether we might do an intervention with a fighter, we might sponsor a fighter, and anything that's good, we're going to bring that out into the MMA. The bad basically is bringing somebody who's the bad boy of MMA, usually has the good information, juicy information that we can expose to everyone. And, of course, is the ugly. What the ugly is about is bringing the drama to the talk show, okay? And we're going to bring people. We're going to call people out and blast them. In this situation tonight, we have Josh Rogers from Dead Game, which he'll be up against MMA Fight Club. Basically, we're going to expose some information that he has, and hopefully MMA Fight Club will answer the phone tonight and stick up for himself and try to clear this this mess up for him. And also we have the big question of the week, and that's going to be a special one for everyone, which I've been wanting to find out myself. You know, am I right? I think Stacey went to the bathroom, but we got it under control. Anyhow, we also have a sponsor that we would like to bring up as well, and this is going to be for next week's show. And what we're going to do is the sponsor's willing to give a home for a fighter to stay in, a car to drive around in, all expenses paid for 1 year, including training, all the training he needs, 24/7, a gym at his disposal. This is going to be next week's episode. We're going to bring the sponsor on here, and we haven't decided yet whether we're going to do tryouts or some kind of a raffle, but fighters, if you're out there listening, this is your opportunity of a lifetime. Okay, you want to get serious in your game? This is when you get serious, when you have a sponsor willing to give you all the tools you need to get it done. And all the sponsor is requesting is to have amateur go directly to pro. Okay, so that's going to be next week's episode. And what I'd also like to do is introduce my co-host tonight, which is Stacey Hunt.
Hi.
Stacey, why don't you tell me about yourself? You're the big mouth of this whole thing. You're the one that pushed me to do this talk show. I had to have a backup, so.
Yeah, yay. Listen.
So she's going to be my backup.
Got the power.
She's going to help me blast these people.
Yeah, well, if you would
anyhow,
stop a minute, I might talk.
Hey, listen, you've been abusing me too much lately, so back down a little bit, okay? I got enough bruises to show it. Today you broke my knee. The other day punched me in the eye, flat lips.
Well,
don't think I
won't
report you to
the
abuse hotline.
If you don't mess with me, I don't hurt you.
Hey,
and
I heard you
anyway,
choked out.
I blasting that on Facebook.
Hey, I heard you choked out Matt from Madhouse. Is that true?
Uh-huh. He called me an old lady. Yeah.
It's okay,
that's
Matt. Hey, we still love you, man.
Yeah, we do. We love
all
you.
Right, Stace, if you want to take it from here, tell them basically what we have store for them with MMA Fight Club, the main event, how we have it set up, and I'm going to go ahead and get Tyler Minton on the phone for us.
Listen, I'm thinking that maybe I shouldn't talk about MMA Fight Club. He hasn't responded to any of my messages. He's saying some really nasty stuff online there. And I have to go with Josh, even though Josh didn't message me back either. But we'll see tonight. I asked him if he's going to be on the show, and I haven't heard nothing back, so this might be a quick fight. Are you there, Mike? Listen, he's out here talking to somebody. We're trying to get Tyler Minton on the phone right now for you guys so he can tell us about his UFC experience and what he's done for us and how he got there. We'll see.
Hello? Hello?
Hi, Tyler.
Hey.
It's Stacy from MMA Exposed. How
hey,
are
you?
Good.
Just eating a little bit.
Yeah?
Hey, Tyler.
Listen, we have a lot of people out here.
Hey,
I want to get some good questions for you tonight. Good questions for you.
Awesome.
A lot of these amateurs out here wanting to go pro, and we got to pave them a path on how to get there, okay? I know you've been doing some great training. I know you've been Ultimate Fighter 3 times, and I stress to these fighters how important it is to get their training in, their diet in, being in the right training camp. And I want you to start from the beginning before you even got into Ultimate Fighter. Your beginning career as an amateur, what exactly did you do? I mean, who did you train with? How much training did you do? I mean, how much of your life is dedicated to this? And also, I mean, what is your background? I mean, do you also work, or is this your only career that you do is fighting?
Awesome, man. Yeah. Well, first off, I wrestled in school. Like, I have a very odd story, to be honest with you. I was the kid. I was a little short, fat, poor, out of shape kid that got picked on like my entire life. Like anything you can imagine being called and what kids are picked on for, that was me. Like, I got beat up in bathrooms, things like that.
Oh,
that was
that
my
was
entire
cute.
Life until high school.
So you started this because you got bullied.
Yeah, basically. You know, I played football, I played baseball, and I honestly, you know, I wasn't good at any of them. I wasn't real good. I wanted it real bad. And then one day, one of the high school wrestlers came up to me and he said, "Hey man, you know, you should come try wrestling." And I knew that the high school wrestlers were kind of a different group. Like they're kind of the outcasts of the athletes. So I went and gave it a shot. And those guys, I mean, they didn't care. They didn't care that I was the fat kid. They didn't care that you know, my family was poor. They didn't care about any of that. And then, you know, they just kind of took me in and they gave me the opportunities to work hard, and they really worked with me. And then, you know, in one summer, I went from the 5'8", 220-pound kid to the 6', 175-pound, you know, kid that's in really good shape and a really good and turned out to be a really good wrestler. So,
you
so I started wrestling.
Shape.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things I'm kind of known for is my conditioning and stuff. And it was. You know, the wrestling is what got me into it. Then after that, after high school, I had a lot of injuries. I went through 3 knee surgeries. I was kind of down and out on that. I saw some local guys at a local gym, just at a local college. To me, it looked like they were wrestling on the mats. So I asked if I could join in. I went and joined in. I thought they were just doing takedowns. I didn't really even know what MMA was. And so I joined in. I took a guy down, and he triangle choked me. Like, it blew my mind. I had no idea why this guy just wrapped his legs around my throat and started choking me before I would even work. When all we're supposed to do is wrestle.
Sounds familiar, right, Stacy?
You know?
Hey, listen. You be quiet over there.
She tries to do that to me, Tyler. She thinks she's like a man in a woman's body, man. I'm telling you. Wait till you meet Stacy one day.
He told me last week, he would double anything I leg pressed. So I went there and did 400 pounds when I was sick. Guess who hasn't been at the gym? So he owes me 800 pounds on that leg press. That's not going
to
happen.
Man.
So I'm going
man.
To 500. We'll see what he does.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. But,
he's actually called the abuse hotline on me today. So.
Full competition.
So listen, let Tyler talk, okay?
No, that's fine.
For sure.
You're fine, but no, And that's kind of how I got started with that. So I started training with the local MMA team, Team Oxendine in Johnson City, Tennessee. And after a few months, they let me take my first fight. And, I mean, I saw myself transform literally from this guy who didn't have friends. And now I'm surrounded by all these weirdos that are my friends, these guys with cauliflower ear and you know, like-minded people. But in 2006, 2007, MMA was very taboo. So, you know, we were all the weirdos. And, you know, I go and do my first fight, and it lasts 9 seconds. So I decide to fight again, and it's 42 seconds. I'm like, man, this is – I like this. So then my third amateur fight is an absolute – my third amateur fight is an absolute – knockdown, drag out war. I don't remember round two or three. My opponent didn't remember round three. By the end of it, we're just beating each other half to death. I have to go to the hospital after I win. I don't remember, if it wasn't for a video, I wouldn't know what happened. I won, but you know, I got a concussion, my face broke, my hand broke, all these injuries, and everybody kind of thought, my mom and dad and everybody, like, okay, he's got it out of his system, and literally at the time I was just doing it to have something to do. And after that match, I remember thinking to myself, like I'm special. Like, for the first time in my life, I'm special, and I refuse to let go of that. So I decided right then and there, as a 3-0 amateur, that I was going to be a professional fighter. So at that moment,
you know what? Hey, listen, Tyler, Mike was special too. He used to lick the windows on the short bus.
Really, really, Stacy?
Yeah, I just lived there.
Tyler,
too bad you're not a special.
Tyler, what are you?
Tyler.
What year was that when you were fine amateur, those three and oh wins?
I believe 2009 would have been the third 2008, 2009 would have been the third fight that really kind of got me into it.
And then when did you decide to go pro? Is it right after?
And I still continued to fight just amateur, but I started living a professional lifestyle. I quit the job that I had at the time, and just because I wanted to train full time. So I became a personal trainer because, you know, I had been through every avenue of fitness at that point. I knew a lot about it. I studied, learned, became a personal trainer, went to the school, and actually graduated with a degree in nutrition. And I made it to where I could train full time. You know, at that moment, I wasn't the kid that was going out and partying. I wasn't eating bad food on the weekends. I mean, I was living the life of a world champion, because in my eyes, that's what I was wanting to be. And, you know, and that's something I tell amateur fighters all the time. You know, if you want to be a professional fighter, you have to live that life. Like, Tiger Woods was not preparing to be the world's greatest golfer by playing putt-putt. He was preparing to be the world's greatest golfer by mimicking what the world's greatest golfers did, even when he was a kid. And, you know, and that's what I did immediately. I everything that I did was devoted towards MMA, my every relationship, my every meal, my bedtime, everything. And here I am, just a 3-0 amateur fighter without a name. And I was already, you know, living the lifestyle that a lot of pro fighters don't even do, you know. And that really kind of set me apart. And then as an amateur, I ended up going 8-1. And then my coach decided it was time for me to go pro. And from there, it was an easy transition. I didn't have to learn how to eat healthy. I didn't have to learn how to train 2 and 3 times a day. You know, I had been doing that stuff for years for free, so it was already ingrained into me.
I just want to say something real quick for those fighters that are listening. You know, this is a good example. You know, Tyler has got an education background. You know, do not expect, you know, to go into your amateur MMA career and become a pro fighter and not have a job or have some kind of a degree background or something. Always have something to fall back on. In this case, you know, he ended up getting a degree in nutrition. He's a personal trainer. He still did something just in case that his career didn't take off as a fighter. So, Tyler, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, you know, and, you know, I just want to make sure these amateurs understand that, you know?
Yeah,
no,
so, that's Hello?
Go ahead, Tyler.
Oh, no, what I was going to say, I mean, that's what you said. I mean, that's huge, because, you know, it's a safer sport than it used to be, but it's still a dangerous sport, you know. I could go in tomorrow and get injured and never be able to fight again, but now I'm a nutritionist and I own a gym, so that'll pay me for the rest of my life, even if fighting is not there.
Right, and that's the way it should be, because, you know, a lot of these fighters, they think it's an easy ticket, you know, that everybody's going to go up into the UFC, and they don't realize, you know, that you still have to work. You still have to have some kind of career background, because you never know. You know, you never know. You know, you got lucky that, you know, your injuries, you're able to overcome your injuries and to continue to go on, you know, and you got lucky, brother. You got lucky, you know, just like, you know, I heard when you got into Ultimate Fighter the first time, you know, you did get an injury. What kind of injury was that, by the way?
Well, the first time I did it, I actually got sick. It was when they called me to come onto the show, I was sick, I had the flu. But you know, when the UFC calls, you don't say no. You know, and I don't care who they want you to fight, what they want you to do, what you don't say no to the UFC. So like, yeah, sure, I'll be there. So I go through my weight cut, you know, get everything done, go through the weight cut, make weight. Well, then the doctor won't let me fight. Shortly after that, I black out. You know, I end up having to spend time in the emergency room. I mean, I literally was fighting for my life. I was in adrenal fatigue, kidney fatigue. You know, I remember at one point, like during my weight cut, writing a letter and handing it to the producer, one of the producers of The Ultimate Fighter, saying, you know, if I die, give this to my wife. Because I thought I was going to die. I mean, I couldn't. I was swishing water in my mouth just to be able to form a sentence. I was putting eye drops into my eyes so I could see, because I was losing that much fluid. Like, I couldn't see. I couldn't walk. Like, they had to help me walk. Play. I mean, it was a real bad kind of gig, but I kept doing it. And I remember at one point, producer even asked me, he said, hey, you know, is this worth dying? And you know, and I still say this. My answer was, well, you know, absolutely. Like, why would this not be worth dying? I didn't get into this, you know, but I didn't get this into this for any reason but to make it. Like, anybody should be able to say that they're willing to die for their goals. And if you're not, then you're probably not that serious about your goal. And they just thought that was really good. You know, they thought that was like huge, you know, just huge of me to say that. And they really enjoyed that. And so they assured me, you know, like, you'll be back, man. Like, you know, we promise. And, you know, and they stayed in touch with me. They wanted to check on me, like make sure I was fine, like asking me, you know, how are you feeling today? For months, they were still checking on me and, hey, are you back to training? How's training going? And then the next season, that was at 170, then the next season at 185, you know, I'm going through the whole process. And shortly before the show, I actually tear my shoulder. And, you know, I had to have a real severe shoulder surgery. And then that was the second time. And then the third time, they stuck with me because, again, you know, they really wanted me. They liked my story. They liked the fact that, you know, I was the kid that would do anything for it. You know, I'm a talker, and I promote myself, and they just kind of – they liked all of that. So they chose me again. So.
Right. I want to take a step back because I moved forward too quick. I think what these fighters really want to know is that phone call that you got. The first phone call that they invited you to the Ultimate Fighter, what got you there, and how did that happen?
Well, the Ultimate Fighter for the trials, you know, you get a call that there's going to be open trials, or you find out there's going to be open trials. Anybody can try out. You know, at the time, I knew that there was going to be really good guys at the trials that were better than me and things like that, but I didn't let that get to my head. I just told myself,
what are you going
to
eat?
You know what? A lot of those guys, they don't have what I've got.
It makes me worry about you.
I knew if I could get to the...
you have not been eating the past 2 nights.
To the interview. I knew if I could get to the interview that I could win their hearts. And that was kind of my goal. So I made it to the interview, and I'm sitting across the table with Dana White trying to explain why I need to be in the UFC, like why he needs me. And I'm telling this guy, it's like, well, you know, I've got something a lot of your guys don't have. And, of course, Dana White kind of looked at me kind of funny because this guy has anything he would want.
Well,
he said, what's that? And I said, well, you know, I understand what it takes to be in the UFC, and I understand that I don't matter. All that matters is that I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make you money, because if you make money, I make money.
What do you for dinner?
I said, and I'll do anything to do that.
You know, the longer you wait, the more you're going to get.
He looked at me and told me immediately. He goes, yeah, you get it. And that, you know, shortly after that, they gave me the phone call saying, you know, I made it. And it was just the weirdest feeling in the world.
You're not taking care of your own nutrition, and you want to talk to other people about nutrition.
Can I bring something else up, Tyler?
Yes.
The one thing that you said you had three amateur fights, okay? But what happened? Did you do any more pro fights after that, or did you just go from amateur and you went straight into Ultimate Fighter?
No, I went from amateur. I actually ended up having 9 amateur fights. I went 8 pro as an amateur, and then as a pro, the first time I made it, I was 4-0.
Because
actually,
I'm worried about my wife,
3-0
who's snapping at me because I'm worried about her health and her nutrition.
Oh, that's kind of what I was looking for, man. Because a lot of these fighters really want to know, you know, how to make it there. You know, you're pretty much almost there, brother. You know, I've seen you in the Ultimate Fighter. You're doing a great job. You move. I mean, they gave you three shots, brother. Three shots. You know.
Yeah.
So, you know, and you know, we wish you the best of luck, man. You know, and hopefully you make it all the way through to the finals. Matter of fact, when's the finale coming up, and when's your next fight?
As far as my next fight, I'm kind of waiting to hear all of that and work towards that. I'm just kind of training as hard as I can and all that. I'll be moving soon too, so I'm planning on actually moving I'll be moving to Kansas City, Missouri, working with a great gym down there. Several, you know, James Krause, Tim Elliott, Zach Cummings, several, you know, top guys in the UFC, just kind of help me prepare for whatever's coming up next, and you know, just trying to work on getting better, which is, you know, the hardest part of this job. Like, you can't be stagnant. You have to constantly get better.
Right. And what gyms do you actually train at?
Right now I train at Team Oxendine in Johnson City. All of my fight camps, though, before fights, I travel up to it used to be Grindhouse MMA, now it's known as Glory MMA and Fitness, owned by the James Krause. He's actually fighting Jamie Varner this weekend. He owns the gym up in Kansas City. That's where I'll be moving to. And I also do my strength conditioning at my very own gym called the Coliseum in Johnson City.
Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool, bro. Good job, man.
Do you want to
do a shout out to any of your sponsors or anybody you want to bring up? Anything coming up?
Yeah, man. I mean, that's another thing too. Is sponsors are huge in this business. Fighting doesn't pay a whole lot at first, so you got to have sponsors to help you. And I've got some amazing ones that support me. I've got Max Muscle in Cool Springs, Tennessee. They're my supplement sponsor. You know, supplements are huge in this industry and business. So without them, you know, I would be lost. Rob Wolf is my own personal nutritionist. He's the author of The Paleo Solution. It's a bestseller worldwide. So, you know, I'm myself, as far as something else, if people want to reach me and use my business as far as nutrition, if you've got a weight cut coming up or even just general nutrition, you can contact me at www.tylermitten.com as well. And you know, I'm working with tons of fighters right now on weight cuts and nutrition, so.
Now, you know, I know right now in Ultimate Fighter, I don't know if they're paying any kind of wages or anything, but, you know, when you were saying sponsorship, you know, and down here in Florida, let me tell you something, we have a hard time with what they're paying. And, you know, starting off, they maybe get 300 to show, 300 to win, even sometimes 500 to win, sometimes 500 to show. And these are their first fights as a debuter. And my whole thing is, you know, you made a good point that sponsors do pay for a lot of things. You know, here in Florida, as an amateur, you're not allowed to make any kind of money. The minute you make any kind of money, you're considered pro. So it's kind of hard for these amateurs here, you know. And, you know, that's why they kind of rush themselves to go into pro. They think they're going to be making all this money, but it doesn't happen that way, you know. And matter of fact, there's a sponsor next week on a show that's willing to offer a home, a car, all expenses paid for a year. And
if they dedicate the whole year.
You know, and that's an opportunity of a lifetime, and it's going to happen to maybe one or maybe two fighters. We don't know yet. We'll know next week on next week's show. But, I mean, stuff like that doesn't happen all the time, you know, and it's hard to find, you know, sponsors that'll pay your way up, you know, whether it's your traveling expense, whether it's your training expense, whether it's to put money in your pocket just to pay your own bills. So it's tough, man.
Yeah.
It's a really tough career, you know, until you kind of make it. I see you've taken a long journey, you know, and hopefully Ultimate Fighter will give you the success you're looking for. So actually, you already reached success, man, just being an Ultimate Fighter. You know, you got exposure. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing for you, man. And
I appreciate it.
But we're running out of time on you, brother. We got on a time frame. We got a lot of things going on, but I appreciate you coming on the show. And
yeah, thank you, Tyler. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for contacting her.
Thank you, guys.
By the way,
listen, you contacted me because I'm prettier than you.
Better
really?
Looking. That's the way it works.
Listen, tell him he has wrinkles. Tell him he has too many wrinkles. He'll be his favorite.
Can't do that. Oh man.
But hey, we'll be contacting you again to get you on the show, man. We want to know how your experience is when you make it to UFC. I know you will. I mean, we see the way you are. You got definitely determination to get it done. And I don't see why not, brother. I think you gained some fans here in Florida now, so we'll be watching you definitely, Tyler.
Listen, we're going to try to bring him down to Florida so he can meet all these amateurs down here and give them a little push. A little push.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, this is Tyler Minton. He's in the Ultimate Fighter for this season. Keep an eye on him. He definitely is going to make it to the finals, and we wish you best of luck.
You didn't even ask him his record.
Oh.
Yeah, you didn't even ask him. Do you know what it is? I know what it is. It's 5-1, isn't it?
Yes, sure is.
Right, Tyler?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What about now, Mikey?
Oh, you've probably been talking to me that night. He text messaged you doing those phone calls late at night and text messages.
Listen, he's got a beautiful wife. You better watch your mouth.
Oh, sorry about it. Well, I know she plays, you know, those games.
Oh, plays games. Oh,
God.
See, man, she's coming to hit me, bro. I got another bruise now. Thanks to you.
Thank you, Tyler.
I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, my brother.
See you, man.
All right.
See you. All right. Well, hopefully we got enough information out of him tonight. Hopefully these fighters listen to what his journey has been. You know, it's pretty much training, making sure you have sponsors, and being determined. You know, he was willing to sacrifice his life for it.
And very, very dedicated.
Very, very dedicated. We're going to move into our next segment, which we're going to get in contact with Seth Petruzzelli for the big question of the week.
Uh-oh.
We've had him on my Facebook. We see some pictures that don't make sense to us. So we just want to ask him a question. We haven't
Listen, are you throwing me out there, Mikey? I think you're going to throw me out there because that's your buddy. I think you're going to put this all on me, aren't you?
Well.
I see that look in your eyes.
Hey.
I think I'm getting thrown on the bus here.
You said you wanted me to find people, so I brought you somebody. And
yeah, but.
I'm not going to ask him a question.
Yeah, well, listen, I just heard what you said, so I think I know what you want me to ask him.
And hopefully he's not listening right now. We're going to surprise him. So,
I'm sure he is.
So give me 1 second here. We're going to get Seth Petruzzelli on the phone, and these guys are going to be surprised at the question we ask him because, I don't know if I can actually do this.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I think he hung up. I think he heard you on the phone, Mikey.
Oh, God, please don't say that.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, let's go back over here, jump back on.
All right, let's do that.
Shit.
Listen, that was really nice of Tyler to call in. You calling him back?
Yeah, I'm calling him back.
Well, listen, I think he heard it.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mr. Seth Petruzzelli?
This is Seth, yes.
Hey, what's going on? It's Mike with MMExposed.
And Stacey.
Hey, what's going on,
How
guys?
You doing, Seth? It's pretty good, man.
I'm
pretty
well.
Good,
I just got done
good.
Eating.
Just got done eating. Now,
yeah.
Time I look on Facebook, you're always eating something.
Yeah. I'm eating it or throwing it all over my body, one of the two. I don't know. Doing some weird stuff with it.
So, Stacey has a question.
No. Listen. Hey, Seth. I sent you a lot of Facebook requests, and you won't answer my Facebook requests. So, Mikey's putting me up.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Hey, I'm sorry. Well, there's two reasons for that. Well, one, I'm at my limit. Well, I think I have like 10. I delete a lot of people, so I have room now, like 10 spots. And then
yeah, well, listen,
I have
you
like
to go add me.
I had like 1,500 friend requests, so I can't even scroll through them all. So send me another one, and that way it's on top, and I will accept. I promise.
Well, listen,
that
I want
sounds
you
really
to know.
Gay, doesn't it?
Yeah, listen. I have nothing to do with this. I'm just the co-host, okay?
Seth, the only thing that I'm going to say is this right now.
Oh, my gosh. Really, Mike?
No, man, I don't think you're loony, brother. I just, some things just, you know, touched or, I don't know what this, I mean, I can't even say it.
Okay, listen,
either.
Listen, I'll do it. Seth, are you there?
I'm here, yeah.
Okay, for all the ladies, and I mean all the ladies, we've all talked about this. I know Mike says that I'm a guy in a girl's body, but I am a girl. So, we think you're really hot. We think you're sexy.
Ooh, thank you. I appreciate
yeah,
that.
Yeah, really, really hot. Okay, so this is not coming just from me. It's coming from the audience.
It's the toenails.
It's the kind of toenails. Listen, he's so retarded. Okay, so there's been a couple pictures that are out there about you. I think in your drunken stupidness, so I'm taking your back on this.
Uh-huh.
But they want to know if you like women.
Of course I do. I thought this has been this has come up in a lot of different interviews. I just like to have when I get drunk and all my friends act incredibly gay. It's more for shock value than anything. So
nice.
I'll just
know
leave
what?
It at that.
I know all about that.
Yeah. So yes, I'm into girls.
See, I told you.
I'm not gonna.
Well, a lot of hot guys though are gay. I mean, I'll give you that. You're right. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. I'm hot. Thank you very much. But
yeah.
A lot of hot guys are gay. So that really doesn't say anything.
Don't feel bad. You know what I'm gonna do for you, Seth? I'm gonna start posting stuff about Mike when I make him cry like a little girl. just so that you know, he put me up to this, you know, because he didn't have the cojones to do it. So yes, he did. So next time, actually, you can look on my Facebook right now because I had him in a leg lock the other night and he almost cried. And I didn't even want to put the other pictures up because I didn't want to embarrass him like that. But I'm gonna do that just for you, Seth.
Yeah, thank you. And you should not. You shouldn't.
Really?
When he taps, you should just keep pulling and pulling and pulling.
Couldn't he confess to me today? That when I had him in a leg lock, I have really strong legs, that he almost passed out. So he fessed up to me today. I said, you know what, Mike? I saw your shoulders go down. They just went limp. So I let go.
Bullshit.
That's not bullshit.
We can't say that.
No, you can say shit, ass, but you can't say the F word.
Oh.
Or any
oh,
other, like.
Don't let her pull you.
Listen,
I tapped him out plenty of times.
No, he hasn't, Seth. Matter of fact, Lauren here is our producer. Lauren, do you wanna take my back on that? You ever seen Mike tap me out?
No, but I've seen him cry a lot.
Oh, yeah, nice. See, Seth? He's
why are you crying? That, see,
Mike,
if anything's gay, it's crying.
Yeah! Seth just called you out. Hey, Seth, I think this guy owes you a couple drinks. We'll keep him away from you. No pictures with Mike because he does cry a lot. So tell us what you're doing now, Seth. And you know what? I'm glad your gate swings our way, the girls' way.
The girls'
love
way,
it.
Yes. Yeah.
Now
right now,
drool, not wonder.
No, yeah, you don't have to wonder. You can the drool. right now, I'm actually I'm really really busy with my two gyms here in Orlando. They're going absolutely great. And then I've actually I'm commentating and doing the host of a show. It's called Fighter Source, which is actually aired across the nation. It's amateur MMA. What we do is we took a bunch of teams from different cities around the country, got every single weight class in those teams, and they're all fighting each other. And there's going to be, in September, the world Challenge, all the winners from each weight class are going to go face Team London. And I've been traveling every single month to have a fight in a different city, and I've been commentating for those fights. So it's been going great. It's a great company, and the fights are just amazing.
Hey, you know what I remember? I remember your first commentating job. You know who it was for?
Was it the
commentating job?
He can't.
Was it for Roy Jones Jr.?
Remember Amateur Fight Nation? You commentated for us. I think
oh,
that was your first
yeah.
commentating job. You know?
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was. It was one of my first.
So you know how girly Mike is from hands-on experience.
I forgot about that. That was one of my first. Before that, I did a couple pro ones. I remember doing one of my big ones I did for Roy Jones Jr. He had a boxing show in Pensacola, Florida. I got to commentate that, which was really, really cool. That was a lot. That was a long time ago.
What are you doing June 14th?
June 13th. I have clue. I gotta look.
Well, listen, why? It's Saturday, and it's, I have a Goddess of War fight series coming up. It's an all-woman amateur event. It's going to be televised.
Oh, nice.
It's actually going to be the first themed event. We're bringing a little different style to the MMA, and actually I'm having ring men instead of ring women. I know you're not into men,
right,
but it is an all-girl event. So I think that you should come down and sit by me and be our special guest.
Oh, I could do that. Would you want me to jump in? I can do a guest commentator for a fight, too. I would love to come down. Where is it going to be held at?
It's going to be in Newport Richey at All Sports Arena.
Oh, nice. That's awesome. I'd love to do that.
Oh, my gosh, really? Well, you're going to go add me to Facebook, and I'm going to send you all the stuff.
You know, you quit hugging the mic.
Well, listen, you already heard from Tyler that I'm better looking than you. I know what you're feeling. Look at—he's about to cry. He doesn't know what to say.
That's the thing. As far as I know, she doesn't cry either.
No, I don't cry. Actually, I'm rocking a really bad elbow because somebody wouldn't help me get locked out of the bathroom. I'm sure when you add Facebook, you can see what Mikey did to me.
I didn't do anything to you. She locked herself in a bathroom.
No, I did not.
We had the firemen were there. The newscast was there. Everybody was there. Just because she got locked, she locked herself in the bathroom.
I didn't lock myself in the bathroom. It was a bad mechanism in the handle.
Really?
Yeah.
No,
and you couldn't get up.
What happened, Seth?
You couldn't get out? You really called the cops?
Yeah, no, the handle broke. And these guys were sleeping, and they wouldn't even... Mikey didn't even get out of bed. He filmed it from bed.
You need one good push kick, and it'll open it up.
Yeah, you need to look. You see what he posted on Facebook about me, and now you know why I talk shit about him.
Okay.
Hey, Seth.
I gotta go on. What's that?
Don't you have some movies coming out? I saw you doing some kind of movie.
Yeah, I am. It's called, I did a couple of years ago, I did a one called Rockabilly Zombie Weekend. I had a small part in that. But then a big movie that's actually being filmed here in Orlando, it's called Lion 7, L7. I think we're going to start in a few months, actually. He's just getting he's got all the cast. He's just getting the locations put together where we're filming and stuff like that. So, it's pretty cool. I play a character named Bobby. I didn't get a script yet, but what I do know is that pretty much I'm in a gang, like a young like street gang, and then it's kind of the movie's about them growing up through like a coming from like just a street thug gang to like a really like huge crime syndicate and taking over like different like a boss that's already there and stuff like that. So it seems pretty cool. I don't think they typecast me too much. I mean, I'm gonna be like a tough fighter, so not too bad of typecasting.
Nice. You have to keep us posted on that so we can help you blast it out there.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, for sure.
Well, gosh, I can't wait to send you my stuff about the Goddess of War. I think that you'll be a great fit there.
Yeah, I would love to kind of see that. I mean, women's MMA now is just blown up like crazy. We have a few girls that are fighting for Fighter Source as well that are just ridiculous. So it's just amazing how the athletic talent that's coming out now with the females getting into the sport. It's awesome.
I know. There's some really beast girls out there. I love it.
Hey, Seth,
yeah.
Just one quick question, brother, right? Next time you see me, you're not going to, like, beat my ass or anything, are you?
Don't worry about it, Seth. I'll beat his ass as soon as we get out
of the show. Why would I do that? As long as, no, I don't care. Just don't cry around me.
All
right. Listen, you know what, Seth? I'm going to make him cry right in front of you. Yes, I am.
Then I'll end up feeling bad
right,
for him.
Seth?
Yeah.
Don't feel bad for this guy. Listen, don't feel bad. It's hard enough for him to walk through a door without his ego checking at the door.
I mean, the only thing was, because I see these things how you paint your toenails pink and.
What do you have on your toenails? Listen, he has 5 years and he's got clear toenail polish on right now. I'm looking.
No, I do not.
Yes, you do. I asked you at the beach. What's that shiny stuff?
Just
yeah.
I don't have pink on there right now. I mean, I do whatever season's coming up. Like, if it's St. Patty's Day, I'll do like a four-leaf clover or something like that. If it's Christmas, I'll do a Christmas tree. You know, I just like doing stuff for the season. Isn't it better looking at that than just ugly gnarled up man toes that you know guys don't take care of their feet? I mean, I think people would rather look at nice, properly manicured feet. You know.
Yeah, listen, Mikey left me in the ghetto to go get a pedicure one time. Left me stranded there by myself. Caused a bunch of trouble and then left. I was like, he's like, you got this. I got to go. So I called him later. I said, where'd you go? He goes, I had to get a pedicure. I said, are you kidding me?
Gross.
The cops were there, everything, and he just left me there.
Hey,
are you denying that? Are you designing that?
You said you
speechless.
Could, you said you can handle yourself, so I left
I
it up
do.
To you.
I do. Listen, don't make me tell that. I'll get Russ Greenberg on here and make him talk about that thing that happened in Miami where he, both of you left me there in the hood, and they both said, you got it.
I thought those were your friends.
My friends? They were climbing in the car. They were climbing in the car to steal money, and what'd you do? Leave me there. He go, you got it. Yeah, this is what this guy does to me.
Nice
See?
Guy.
That's why he gets, I gave him a black guy, busted lip. He'll tell you.
Dude, she does abuse me.
Maybe just maybe he just wanted to, you to practice your MMA abilities on some street thugs.
Yeah.
Yeah. You gonna be fine anytime soon again, or what's the story for that?
I'm still legally, and technically, I'm still signed to Bellator. I still have a couple fights for Bellator left. I'm still in contact with them, and that what's pretty much the dialogue between us right now is that if I want to fight, let them know, and they'll get me a fight. But as of right now, I'm taking my hiatus, man. I mean, I officially retired after the King Mo fight, so but I'd lie if I say I didn't miss it. You know, every time anything, you know, UFC or Bellator comes on, I miss it bad, but I just got to think what's good for me, you know, physically and for my health and stuff like that. And I just think at this point, I think I'd rather concentrate on the gym and the commentating and starting to get into, you know, the other things, starting to use my head instead of getting punched in it, you know.
Man, I'd still like to see a rematch with you and Kimbo Slice again. I'd love to see a rematch.
Oh, my gosh, I would love that. That would sell out.
I think
that fight alone.
I think all of Florida would like to see that.
Florida? Everybody.
I've been
people from Michigan talking about
After the fight, I was approached by numerous people trying to get it to happen, and I was always for it. I said, give me the contract and I'll sign it. But as of right now, you know, it never happened. I even said that I would box him because he's boxing now.
Would you still do that contract now, Seth?
I'm sorry.
Would you still do that fight now?
Yeah, of course. I would a big name fight like that. Yeah, sure. Why not? I would put a good amount of money in my pocket and be fine with it.
nice. That's solid. Well, I'm going to give you the mic, and I appreciate you letting me harass you. But I'll make up for it.
Yeah, yeah, no problem at all. I don't mind being harassed.
Hey, it was a pleasure, brother, man. You know, I just didn't want to ask you that question. Not that I was scared or anything.
No, he was scared all week, Seth.
I was.
All week.
But, you know, I felt more appropriate coming from a lady.
Oh, really? Then why do you say I'm a man?
Like
I'm not a man.
In a woman's body.
Man, let me tell you something. That testosterone level is like sky high where she actually starts talking like a guy.
Oh, really?
See? It starts to scare me after
awesome.
A while.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Well, listen, his voice sounds like a girl. Mm-hmm. That's
going.
Why I have to talk like that, so people don't think that you're, you know,
I
a girl.
I put more bass in my voice.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, what's that?
Hey, everybody, this is Seth Petruzzelli, great fighter, great trainer, great movie star now, and now he's also promoting Fighter Source. So, yeah, bro.
And he's going to come to the Goddess of War.
And,
how awesome is that?
Oh, my God. See, Stacey?
Listen, I could make him one of my ring men. Woo!
Mm-hmm. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, man, no, thank you. And if anybody wants to follow me on, they can follow me on Twitter at Silverback Seth or Instagram, which is a little more fun to Instagram's a little more fun. You can check out some of the cool pictures at Silverback Seth for real on there. I think you might like that one, buddy. Oh, my cool toenail.
Oh, God.
Well, listen, don't forget to add me on Facebook today.
Well, send me a message so I can find your request, and then I will add.
Okay, hon. Sounds
good. Okay.
Like I said, it was a pleasure, brother. It was a pleasure, man. Thank you.
Thank you guys. Anytime. I appreciate it. Bye.
Thank
yep.
you.
Thanks.
And that was Seth Petruzzelli for you. Let me tell you something. I was not scared at all to ask him that question. Now that he's off the phone. I would ask
oh, now
question.
That he's out the phone.
Listen.
Now that he's out the phone.
Stacey took the phone away from me.
I did not. Really? Listen, you handed me the phone and ran over there. I had to go back and get you and chase you with the phone. Are you kidding me?
Listen.
Oh my gosh.
Seth's a good guy, and I think he would understand if I'd asked him that question. I just, I, you know, anyhow.
You didn't want to sound gay.
That's not the truth.
Oh, I think it is. Lauren? Yes, cry.
Okay, we're going to bring in, our next is going to be the bad. Hopefully he'll answer his phone. If not, we do have somebody on backup, just in case. His name, I'm going to introduce him? Hold on a second here. I'm going to introduce him as the most hated by the Florida Boxing Commission, probably the most wanted by who knows who, infamous Larry Downs Jr. Let's get him on the phone. Give me 1 second, guys, and we'll get him on the phone here for you. Larry, hopefully you're listening. Answer your phone when I call you.
Yeah.
You've reached a pinger number. To get your own no monthly charge and limited texting and calling number, go to pinger.com. All I can do is hang up now. Why don't you go first so I don't have to hang up on you?
Hello, this is Larry. Can I help you? Hello? Hello, I can't hear anybody. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Larry, you on? All right, we lost
him.
Dang,
yeah, we lost.
All right, at least he answered his phone, so let's call him back. Oh, man, this guy's going to have some good information. Oh, my God, I can't wait for this.
Listen, if us recharge can get this right.
So are we having technical difficulties here?
Technical? Did you have a hard time saying technical?
Technical difficulties. Again, trying to get used to the system here. We should be on iHeartRadio, screw this Blog Talk TV, but they're seeming to...
Hello, you've reached Larry Downs Jr. Plumbing Company and Pensacola Boxing Academy.
No, that ain't going to work.
Listen.
We're dialing him again. I ain't giving up this easy.
No, he has too much information.
Voice. I heard his voice.
Yeah. He's got way, way too much information.
Larry Downs Jr., can I help you?
Larry, can you hear me now?
Hey, I can hear you now.
Oh man, thank God, brother. We've been waiting for you to get on this phone. We've been waiting. And I wasn't about to give up that easy.
Well, you called a couple of times, but I couldn't get it to answer.
That's because Mikey's operating everything.
Yeah, it's this new system. I'm trying to get used to it. You know, the producer's not doing her job.
Excuse me?
Hey, I just want to play one thing for you, Larry. Can I, if you don't mind, real quick? This is what when I hear your voice, man, this is what I hear. Okay? Because you're the man, brother. You're the man. So let's...
I hear it.
Downs Jr.
All right, so let's get to business. There's a lot of stuff, man, that I really want to ask you. You know, we've talked so many times, and there's a lot of people here that want to listen to some information that you might have. You know, I know we can't, I mean, it'll probably take you probably a whole day just to explain a lot of stuff that's going on. But let's touch on this House bill, House Bill 773 and 808, and just give us a little bit of information on what you have and expose it all, brother, expose it. Blast it out there, because you got a lot of listeners listening right now, and you won't believe how many listeners you got listening.
And you know what else, Larry? A lot of people are still asking what this is and how it's going to affect them. They just don't even understand it.
Well, one of the things that they can do is they can take and look up the history of the athletic commissions and the boxing commissions that are formed in each state. And just like I've been to the House of Delegates in Maryland, where Pat Pinella, who's the executive director, basically lobbied through his own self-interest to take over the amateur combat sports, mainly MMA. amateur MMA, and the reason they do that is because they think they can make a lot of money. And state of Alabama followed suit, and so did some others. But this, the reason why this House bill is so important, and it means so much to the Boxing Commission, because the Florida State Boxing Commission in general, it means a lot to them because it gives them total power to control amateur sports as far as combat sports go. So if they want to pick and choose, if they want to take over the regulating of any particular sports such as amateur boxing, kickboxing, or MMA, they can't. All they have to do is bring it to a vote at the Florida State Boxing Commission meetings. Any one of the commissioners can make a motion, get a second on it, and they can move forward with regulating amateur MMA. And so, as soon as that bill states that they have the power to control professional and amateur combat sports, which is what 773 says, they can tell you all day long that they're going to delegate it to the amateur sanctioning organizations. But any commission meeting, they can stop that. Take it over.
Larry, I have a question, though. A lot of us, we don't know. Like, it seems like their meetings are hidden. I can't find them. You know, how do we get to that place to be heard and to stop this?
Well, they're getting ready to eliminate any recordings of audio and video as well because of you, right, Larry?
That's correct. I do have a lot of the meetings on video. Matter of fact, I have pretty much every meeting that's been held in Tallahassee at the DBPR office I have on video. And I started...
How come we don't get to see them? How come we don't get
to
hear them?
I haven't posted them because we have been, I don't know how many people know out there, but we've been involved with a lengthy administrative case that went through the Florida Administrative Courts, of which the Boxing Commission took HAMA, the nonprofit, to administrative court, charging a bunch of wrongful allegations that we had to prove were lies. And we did prove they were lies. And we finally won the case. I probably should make them public now, so I'm working towards that. But as you can imagine, that's probably over 30 commission meetings that I have all in a database. So it's going to take some time.
What would you say the most corrupted thing is that you've seen?
Listen, I don't. Maybe we shouldn't ask him that.
Come on, Larry.
No, listen. I think Larry's
no.
In a position that.
No, I'm not going to answer that.
All right, Larry. Let me ask you this. What can we do as amateur MMA people, and we have some professionals listening too, what can we do to be heard, to even have some kind of say in this bill? Is there anything we can do? Because right now it's out there that everybody's saying we can't do nothing, so nobody's even trying. We put up a petition.
The only thing that can be done...
We're not going to sign it. Go ahead.
The only thing that can be done at this point with that particular House bill, which is 773, is we have to basically lobby the governor, and we have to petition the governor not to sign it. He's going to sign it any day now. I don't see that he won't sign it, because it passed through the House of Representatives and the Senate 100% without a single nay vote. So for the governor to...
How did that happen that we didn't even get one nay vote? I saw all the yay votes and not one nay vote. How is that possible without putting it to the public? I mean, I think that totally violates our rights.
Well, what happened was is they basically got it pushed through with just a few. I think the only place that they have to put it in, they have to do it in the, they got to make a public announcement and basically some type of Florida politician or something. I don't even know what the name of it is, but they put it in a little press paper. So that's their basically public announcement that they're going to be doing this. Now, I've sent in several public records requests stating that I wanted anything and everything to do with the first committee meetings that they had. And I didn't end up getting it back until a week before the House of Representatives voted. Now, if I would have had it back in more time, I could have went through it. But, of course, you know, none of us in amateur combat sports that I know of are politicians or attorneys or, you know, it takes a little while for me to read something and comprehend it and then put an argument up. And if anybody would have been there at the House of Representatives whenever they held this and they voted on it three times, if anyone would have been there putting up any reasonable, any reasonable defense, for the amateur sport and for them not to take it over, I don't think they would have voted on it. I don't think they would have voted for it. But the problem is, anytime. Well, I would have been there.
I think there's a lot of us that would have been there, but nobody knew about it. It was like secret.
Well, yeah, I posted something on Florida. I posted on Florida Amateur MMA where you can actually see the director of the Florida State Box Commission, Cynthia Heffern, actually went before the committee. And I posted something on that, and I said, you know, that everybody needs to look into this. Well, unfortunately, I've been a huge volunteer of a nonprofit sanctioned organization and running a plumbing company. And, you know, with doing all this stuff, I wasn't vigilant enough, and I should have been, knowing that I've already been to the Alabama State Athletic Commissions, went through all of their, their legislative process when they took over amateur combat sports as far as MMA goes, and the same way in Maryland. And with that, I should have known that this was coming. And I did know. I told everybody it was coming. But I didn't stay on top of it. And unfortunately, just like at all the Florida State Boxing Commissions, there's very few people attend. And over the past 5 years, I've only seen a handful of people go, and it's generally only whenever it addresses something that they need addressed. In other words, they're not there looking after, you know, or trying to see that the commission is doing what we the people want them to do. They are conducting our business. They should be doing what we want, not what they want as a self-interest.
Well, Larry, you know, my biggest problem is this. You know, the one jurisdiction, and they want to change these rules, and it seems like I think the UFC is the one that pretty much did this for them, this House bill for them. I think to pacify the Florida Box Commission in the state of Florida, you know, they absorb pretty much all of the costs to have it done. My biggest issue is the fact that our rules and regulations for the amateur MMA still aren't right. They still aren't right. And meantime, they're trying to leap into something bigger when they haven't even fixed what's wrong here.
They still don't have it right. And the problem is they're not getting the people in there, you know, other than my wife and myself, and maybe, you know, two appearances from just maybe three or four sanctioning bodies. I mean, they really haven't brought in, you know, they haven't put it up for enough of a debate. Just like the junior MMA. You know, I've been after them for 4 years. That there's, you know, to make amateur junior MMA legal, the same as it is for all other combat sports, whether it be karate, kickboxing, Muay or Muay Thai, and amateur boxing and amateur MMA, sand chow, it's all legal. But for amateur MMA, they tend to think that they can discriminate against minors when it's, I don't even think it's constitutional to do that. I don't think they can single out one particular sports group and say, no, you can't, even though it's safer than amateur boxing on many levels. But they still discriminate against them because the perception of it being unsafe and not going with the facts and real doctors.
Yeah, I understand. Well, like right now, you know, I've been seeing a lot of these under-18 fights starting to happen. And I believe that, you know, with the training camps, the coaches, I think that we have more experience to be able to know, you know, what we're doing is right. You know, just like right now, you know, not having the blood work or not having a pregnancy test on that in the rules and regulations, we know that that's the right thing to do. I mean, we do it because it's the right thing to do. If we sit in the floor box commission right now, with, you know, everybody's talking that every sanctioned body is doing their own thing. The reason why is because the rules and regulations aren't set in stone. You know, I remember Tom Malloy was in office. I know you really don't like him, but when he was in office, at least when the revisions were passed, they FedExed them to me the next day, certified, to make sure I received them. I still haven't got the revision from March yet. Of last year. I mean, it's
no, or the,
crazy last
or the
year.
One or the one that they just had. They just had a commission meeting, 2 months ago? And they voted on several things then, and we haven't got any of those yet either.
Well,
but,
you know what's funny is I was in an event that I did up in Tampa, and the state of Florida actually showed up to do an inspection on my event. And then they were questioning me about certain things. I said, listen, I said, I never received that rule and regulation. You know what they told me? Well, you need to go to the website and review it. What do you mean go to the website and review it? So if you make changes, I have to sit there and check into Florida Box Commission's website every single day to find out when these guys are coming out with these changes? That's crazy. That's so crazy, Larry. I just don't understand what's going on. Something's screwed up in that organization that needs to be fixed.
Well, it's not only the Florida State Boxing Commission. It's multiple athletic commissions, state athletic commissions across the country. I mean, they are operating them, in my opinion, they're operating these, our business. Each one of these state athletic commissions are a state agency operating on our behalf. But in my opinion, they're operating our agencies that are supposed to be operated for us. They're operating them like it's their own private country club. It's their own private little club that they get to go and have fun, be on pay-per-view, smile at everybody, and, you know, and tell people, you know, more or less, with my opinion with Tom Malloy, he threatened me multiple times. I mean, what kind of state agency has a director that would do that? I mean, and that's why he's gone. Because he was a fraud. And I'm telling you, in my opinion, he was a fraud. And the state believes the same because they forced him to resign. There's no other way around it. And he used that state agency, our Florida State Box Commission, Tom Malloy used it for his own benefit. There's no doubt in my mind. That's the way I believe. And I've been through it for the past 5 years with Tom. And I was threatened multiple times by him, and one time in Tallahassee at the Armory. Now, state agencies aren't supposed to operate like a mafia. They're supposed to be operating our business, conducting our business on our behalf. And if we go to a state boxing commission meeting or athletic commission meeting, and we as the people say, hey, you know, this is what we want. We don't want y'all to create rules based on perception, we're bringing you facts. We're bringing you multiple doctors. I mean, you got no idea how many doctor recommendations and opinions I submitted them, and they flat disregarded them. They didn't. They just threw them out. They didn't even want to hear it because it wasn't what they wanted. But in reality, they are supposed to be conducting our business. And we're supposed to have input. And they're not supposed to just listen to our input. If there's 50 people show up and they all want blood work, just say, for instance, we're all at a rules workshop, and we say we want blood work for these amateur MMA athletes, then we should get it. They should say, let's create a rule. These are the peers. This is the amateur combat sports community. They want blood work. The doctors say it's safer. Let's enact it now. Not a year from now, not 3 years from now, whenever they get through with their bureaucratic process. It should be immediately. They should be able to vote on it right then and do what we want, especially when we're talking about safety. But it doesn't work like that. I'm here to tell you, I've been to numerous state commission meetings, and I've been to the ABC conference. I've stood up at the ABC conference and asked them real questions, and their answers were unbelievable.
Well, Larry, to me, you know what it sounds like? It's not so much about safety. If it was about safety, then these rules and regulations would be correct. To me right now, I think what it's targeting is money. And they're trying to find any possible way to make it, whether it's, you know, tapping into the amateur side of it, whether it's tapping into the promoter's pockets, you know, just like the 5% complimentary tickets, you know, not allowing, you know, more than so much and charging sales tax, more sales tax to these pro promoters than the UFC is being charged.
It's not only all about money, even though it is. It's about money and power. And power is more important than money to many of these athletic commissions. Just like Tom Loy running around like he's some kind of federal marshal, you know, some type of dictator saying, if you do what I say, or I will hit you up, I'll suspend you. I'll suspend you for life. You do what I say. Don't you be talking back. Don't you be freaking, you know, publicly saying anything about me. Just like when Seth Petruzzelli fought Kimbo Slice. You know, they done that right there on the spot. But then Tom Loy turns around and cites several instances on our nonprofit of 7 or 8 pounds of weight difference and cited that we were unsafe with such a little weight difference. I mean, and of course, you know, it's okay for them. It's okay. Oh, I can't tell you all the stuff that's been okay for them. And I'm not talking about the current administration. I don't know what their intentions are. But any time that you create legislation, statute, law, that gives them total power and control, it's never a good thing for the people. And these taxes that we're talking about, you know, whoever said that, Mike, if I wanted to promote, if I wanted to get my professional promoter's license from the state of Florida, who are them to tell me that I can't have a free event and not charge nobody nothing? Aren't we living in the United States of America that's supposed to be the free United States of America to do as we choose? If I want to go and host a whole event, pay them their permit fees, pay for all their officials, and not charge a nickel at the gate and do a free show for a nonprofit or for whoever I wanted to. Let's just say I appreciate all the people in my town and I want to give them a free event. Who are they to say that I have to pay 5% on a free show? Or if I want to give away 100 complimentary tickets or I want to give away 2,000 complimentary tickets. You know, what's the difference? Unless I'm actually charging money for that ticket, they have no business taxing nobody. Nobody on a ticket. If it don't sell, there's no tax on it.
You know what's funny? I think it's really funny that they want to know all of our business like that, but if you ask them, ask Dana White for his records, we don't get any answers. We don't get responses, nothing. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, now we go. Now we can move on to the Muhammad Ali Act that gives
right.
You know, that's a federal law, which in reality, there's a federal law that protects amateur athletes as well. And it's called the Ted Stevens Olympic and Amateur Sports Act. But those were federal laws because they found that the states weren't doing a good job. They weren't doing a good job of protecting professional fighters from being professional boxers, from being signed on as a young man, as maybe 17, 18, 19, especially back then, or even now, 18, 19, 20, 21, whatever. They're young. They have talent, but they have no money. They're broke. Lots of them
right. Don't
have any representation. Now, do you think the State Athletic Commission cares about, I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying if they have the UFC or Don King or anybody else paying them large sums of money for big gates and big pay-per-view events, do you think that they're really, really concerned about the amateur, or I mean about the professional mixed martial artist who signs a deal without representation, but signs a deal with the UFC or whoever else, Bellator, whoever it is, if they cared about it, if they did, they would apply the same law, federal requirements to that went for the boxers, the professional boxers,
right,
the Muhammad Ali Act. They wouldn't be creating a bill, which is this the bill that they have now, 773 and 808, that basically does not require the UFC or anybody else to apply that same law to professional mixed martial artists. So the pro boxers have more federal protection, and now they are taking away that federal protection that existed. It existed in the state of Florida because they applied the same stroke of the brush, the same stroke of the pen across the board to all professionals. But now they're taking it out of it because they're saying, well, the Muhammad Ali Act does not apply to professional MMA athletes or to professional kickboxers. It only applies to boxers, so therefore we're going to remove all that. That ain't right. That ain't.
Not at all.
I mean, and I don't know if y'all can tell. I don't know if y'all can tell, but I do get, I'm very passionate about this because I've been a sports, amateur combat sports advocate for a long time. And now that I see that they're moving right on and taking more rights away from the professional MMA athletes, I have to get involved with that somewhat and at least state my opinion and hopefully it, you know, at least provide some information to people who wouldn't know. But there's a reason why professional boxers on the top level make so much money. And it's because
the
template's already been made. It's already been made. Now, of course, if I was a big-time promoter, I wouldn't want them making that kind of money. If I'm the one who, you know, I mean, that's instinct. That's inherent in every human being. But I'm not a professional promoter. I just want the same thing to be applied to professional mixed martial artists, the same as professional boxing. There's no difference. There's no difference other than a slight variation in style. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't change the fact that they're getting paid to fight.
Right. Hey, look, you know, I was trying to tell these amateur fighters how it's going to affect them, and they're just not comprehending. They can help. I think they're just too little people to help. But try to tell them, you know, if this bill passes, there's going to be less and less shows, which means less exposure, which means less fights. Which means all
that's
these
absolutely
kids that are really, they're fighting hard, they're training hard, and they don't understand. And, I don't know what to do. Maybe you can give us some advice to help these kids.
Well, that's exactly correct. Anytime that you have a state agency come in onto an amateur sport, to start with, the Florida State Boxing Commission is operated by the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. Now, shouldn't that right there alone be enough to say, hey, hold up. You know, why is a department, a state agency of professional regulation interfering with an amateur sport? They can do it to this. They can do it to jiu-jitsu. They can do it to wrestling. Because guess what? A lot of their terminology in there says, but not limited to. So they can do all of this. And then, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry, Larry. They're passing this law, these people, you know, these are state representatives. They don't even know. They don't even know what a chokehold is. They don't know what an armbar is. They don't know nothing. And some of the Florida Boxing Commission really upsets me because the rules and regulations for the amateurs, it's not very clear. It's confusing. It's conflicting. They don't even require blood work. You know, and if it wasn't for the sanctioning bodies, you know,
I've got emails going back and forth about the blood work issue. And and of course we our organization, which I'm just a volunteer, I'm not on the board, I'm not one of the officers, I'm just a volunteer of American Amateur Mixed Martial Arts.
You know what's right and what's wrong. You know this sport. You're in it, you're involved in it, you take time away from your family to help these amateurs and they don't even realize it. You know,
absolutely. My wife's the vice president of AMA. My kids have all been to the commission meetings. Our whole community has been to the commission meetings. We've put in so much time. And the only reason that I'm doing it is because I want these amateurs to be able to compete as often as they want to, and I want them to be able to compete in an environment which provides them a fair and equal opportunity to compete. Now, when the State Athletic Commission takes over an amateur sport, where does the fair and equal opportunity come in for them to compete whenever they take it over and it's basically they put such a high price on it that very few promoters can do it? And then how are promoters going to be able to give my 30 amateur athletes a fair and equal opportunity to compete? Are they really going to care? Are promoters really going to care that my amateur athlete over here who can't sell a ticket has an opportunity to fight?
Exactly.
They're not. But my
school
will.
And you know
what?
Don't quote me on this, but the people that are trying to push this bill, you know, no names mentioned, but I heard a statement from one of them saying they don't even care about Emmy, you know, and that's really, as soon as I'm going to look for that quote and maybe have you call in again next week, and I'm going to put that on there. I'm going to blast that out.
If you can find that quote, I would love to see who stated it. But it doesn't surprise me, because the last thing that any professional promoter wants is any amateur organization taking away money from them by having a competing event. So how do you take away your competitor's ability to compete? Through the legislation.
Right.
That's how it's notoriously been done. I mean, he who has the most money to go pay the politicians and to lobby and to pay lobbyists to get laws passed that eliminate their competition or make it at least extremely difficult, then you have fewer events. But the problem with that is you have fewer amateurs being able to compete. If they wanted to compete, they're going to have fewer events, just like in Maryland and Alabama. All you have to do is call those commissions and tell them to give you a printout of how many amateur fights they've had, how many amateur events they've had since they took it over. And just as of 2 months ago, Maryland's had it for over a year and probably 4 months, and they haven't had one amateur event. That's what one of the coaches called me and told me.
That's
one of the coaches up in Maryland. So they're having to go to surrounding states.
The talent's missing there. They have talent there. They have talent there, and they can't afford to go to another state, you know, and fight.
Lots of them can't afford. Lots of them can't afford.
No.
So not only are they being denied an opportunity to compete because based on their, you know, they can't just go to another state. But the ones who can go to another state, the ones who do have enough money to travel and get, you know, amateur experience, they're taking their money out of their state and spending it in other states. Or on sovereign lands. They're going to sovereign lands to compete, you know, to Indian reservations. And whenever they do this, I'm happy for the Native Americans. I'm happy for them because anything, you know, the state athletic commissions, they have gotten to a point to where, you know, that I believe that they are they're basically regulating it, taxing it to a point to where it's really hurting the amateurs. And they and the thing about it is they hardly ever touch amateur boxing.
Nope.
And the reason why they don't.
That. You remember that Safety Young Act? Remember they passed the Safety Young Act here?
Absolutely.
Backed that 100%. You know, what Art Dorr was doing down here all over those Tough Man contests. That they stopped that. That was legit. This is something that they don't even know about. I backed that Safety Young Act. You know, I was there. I saw it.
Well, the Safety Young Act did it did exactly what it was supposed to do. And it was and it was clear and above board what it was going to do. There wasn't no hidden agenda. There wasn't no, you know, there wasn't any commissioners making a motion. This here's what scares me. And if you go back through, you can actually order the audio from the Florida Boxing Commission. It's public records, and they have to give it to you. You can order the audio from two commission meetings ago, and you can actually hear Commissioner Martinez. You can actually hear him make a motion, and he says, almost quote, I can't quote it exactly because I'm going off memory, but he says, I would like to make a motion to proceed forward with either taking over the regulation of amateur mixed martial arts or at least permitting the events and charging the gate tax.
Right.
And I'm sitting here the whole time he's talking that, I'm raising my hand. I just can't wait to speak because in that audio, you'll hear me address that about 2 hours previous. Now, this meeting was like 6 hours long. You'll hear me state that I believe that y'all are intending on moving forward and taking over this just like they have in other states. And then sure enough, he says it. He makes that motion at the end. And then I wait till my turn. They finally let me speak. And you'll hear me say, I just told y'all what y'all were going to do, didn't I? I said, and there is no way, if y'all take it over, there's no way that an amateur is going to have an opportunity, a fair and equal opportunity to compete. Because when you take it completely out of the hands, at least right now, there are a lot of amateur events that go on that are hosted by the actual schools. So if they're hosted by the actual schools, it gives them a lot more opportunity to compete. Like our school, we'll have 23 to 30 matches in an event. That gives a lot of amateurs an opportunity to compete because the event's not put on for profit. The event's not put on purely based on ticket sales or who gets to compete, you know. It's based on let's get everybody a match as much as possible. And there's going to be an amateur event in Panama City hosted by Ultimate Boxing and MMA, and it's going to be at their school in August. And they are doing this completely free, no charge. No tickets at the door. That's what I'm talking about. That's the reason why we have to, you know, our only choice right now is to contact the governor and beg him not to sign the bill as is, and it needs to be revised and put back through next year with some limitations on what they can do. Because right now, that bill reads, there's no limitations on what they can do. They can take over just amateur MMA, just amateur kickboxing, or both, or just amateur boxing. They can do whatever they want. From the way I read the bill, it states right at the very front, the power to control. Now, whenever you write that into a law, that means the power to control any way they see fit. That means the permit, the tax.
We're getting kind of short. We've still got the main event to come up, so it's going to eat up another probably 20 minutes of our time. But, hey, let me tell you something, brother.
Will you come back next week, Larry?
Absolutely, I will.
Will you do me one more favor? Sorry, Mikey. When you post stuff on Florida Amateur MMA, Mike and I were the you know, where the admin's on there, but there's a lot of stuff that goes through there. So I apologize, I missed that post, or I would have helped you blast it out there. If you can tag Mike and I and post you put like that so we can help and get help, that might help a little bit too.
Absolutely, I will do it. If you'll hit me up, if you'll hit me up tomorrow, so that I can, you know, so that I can set you up for me to automatically tag you, just hit me up tomorrow on Facebook.
We will. I'll do it for Mike and I.
Larry, thank you for coming on the show, brother.
Yeah, thank you. We want to know it all from you. We just ran out of time.
Hey, and next
time,
you're
very welcome.
Well,
you're very welcome, and listen.
You got
that'll be great.
I want more information out of you. I want more information out of you. You didn't give us enough.
You got it. And listen, y'all keep up the good fight.
You got it, brother. Hey, man, keep doing what you're doing. We trust me, man, we love what you're doing for us, and I'm pretty sure everybody that's listening tonight is giving you everybody's behind you, man. We're supporting you, brother. And I'm going to be there right behind you, man, to help you get this thing rolling, man, and try to stop it.
I already got 40 messages in my inbox on my Facebook about Larry right now.
Well, the only thing that I'm interested in doing is trying to advocate for a fair playing field for amateurs and professionals. That's all we want.
Right.
You got it, brother.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Larry.
You're welcome.
Good night, and thank your family
for
giving up their time.
Yes, ma'am. Well, thank you very much. All right.
You got it, brother.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye,
bye.
Okay.
That was Larry Downs for you. And he told us everything he could tell us without exposing too much. Hopefully next time we'll get him to expose even more information, which I know he has it. He just doesn't want to let it out. It's you got to remember, we had to hire bodyguards just to do this show because we need people to protect us. So I can only imagine Larry's kind of a little worried, you know, releasing what, you know, what he's releasing. But let's go to the next part of the show.
Everybody's waiting. There's five clubs here. We got Josh Ruggers is waiting here.
Yeah,
we need to get our announcer on the phone.
This is the main event of the evening, ladies and gentlemen, the main event.
There's a lot of people waiting to hear this.
If the officials, the judges, the referee, the announcer, if you can call in through our guest line, and this way we can kind of speed things up, start me calling you one by one, that would be great.
Let's put our guest line number out there right now. All the judges and refs and announcers, if you can call in right now, the number is 914-803-4504.
Come on in and call. And I'm going to start calling Josh, get Josh on the phone, and then we'll call.
Josh just messaged me his number. But listen, before we get going, we were going to have a judge here tonight from a new professional MMA company. That's House of Fame, and he can't be here with us tonight because he had some health issues today. So big, huge thanks to David, who's stepping in for us.
All right, let me start getting these people on the phone, and we'll get everything going, okay?
Good evening. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir.
Hello. All right, good. You're on the line. Josh, if you want to hold on a second, I'm going to get everybody else on the phone as well, and then we'll go over rules and regulations, and we'll get this thing started, okay?
Sounds great.
Let's see. Who do you got here?
All right, just hold on a second.
You want me to go ahead?
Hello.
Hey, Daryl?
Yep. Mike with MMA Exposed, welcome to the show, brother. If you want to hang on, I'm rounding up everybody who's going to be for the main event. I'm getting a hold of the judges, the referee as well, so just hang tight, okay?
Yes.
Is that Russell?
Yes.
Hey, Russell. Welcome to the show. Hold on, Russell, and we're just going through and end everybody to this.
Okay, thanks.
Is that Daniel or is that Ross Kellen?
This is Daniel Blevins.
Who is this?
Hey, Mike, this is Daniel Blevins.
Oh, what's going on, Daniel? Give me a second. We're just waiting for the referee to call in. Hold on a second here. I got another judge here on the line. Dave, is that you?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, welcome to MMA Exposed, and give me 1 second. We're missing just a couple more people, and we're getting them on.
All righty.
Ross, is that you? Maybe not. Okay, so we're missing Ross Kellen. We're going to add Ross Kellen to the call. Ross, you on the line? Ross, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right. We have, who are we missing here? We have Ross, who's going to be the referee for tonight's event. We have Daniel Blevins from Gator MMA as the judge. We have Russell Greenberg as a judge, and also Dave Joseph has our from Florida Championship Fighting, has one of our judges as well. And we're just missing our announcer, so just 1 second.
Kevin.
Welcome to the announcement.
Mike?
Okay, guys, this is the main event, which is going to be Josh Rogers. He's from Dead Game Fight Team, and we also have Daryl Hatchett from MMA Fight Club. There's been some controversy that's been going on with this, and we're going to set a little bit of rules here. It's going to be 3 minutes, three rounds, okay? The first round will go to Josh. He's got the accusations that he's been making about MMA Fight Club. The second round will go to Daryl Hatchett. He's got the ability to defend himself and state his facts. The third round will be basically both parties hashing it off, okay? The rules for this is
there can be no F-bombs on this radio.
No cursing whatsoever.
Or you get disqualified.
The second rule is do not interrupt while the other speaker is talking. Okay, you have to wait your turn only until the third round, then you can both go at it. Whatever you guys want to say, or accept the curse and keep the cursing out of it.
I think we should do the third round 5 minutes.
Yeah, we can do that. We can do 5 minutes.
We can do 5 minutes the third round so they both can even square up.
And also we have the one last thing. If you hang up, it's considered it's going to be considered a knockout. So do not hang up. If you want to come clean, you're more than welcome to come clean, and we'll give you a win for that. Okay, the three judges at the end will decide who's been giving us the best truth, the best facts, and they will give us the winner at the end of the round three. That's what we're going to do. We have the referee, which is Ross Kellen from Champions of the May. He's going to make sure everything runs nice and smooth. And one last thing here before we start. We also have a timekeeper here, which is Lauren Hennessy. She's also the timekeeper for Global Finance Solutions as well.
and the producer. She's playing multiple roles.
She hasn't produced our next yet, so I'm throwing her in the bus right now.
So to get started, everybody's listening in. And
this is Sparta!
Kevin, you can take it from here.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event brought to you by Global Fighting Solutions. Our fight judges are Daniel Blevins from Gator MMA, Russell Greenberg, ex-WWF wrestler, and David Joseph from Florida Championship Fighting. Fighting out of the red corner from Dead Game Fight Team, Josh Rutgers. And fighting out of the blue corner from MMA Fight Club, Dal Hatchett. Are you ready to see some ass whooping?
This could be a real bout.
Russ, you let us know when you're ready to start the match.
All right, Josh, are you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, you have 3 minutes. Daryl, do not interrupt him. That'll be a foul. If you do it again, you'll be disqualified. Daryl, do you understand?
Yep.
Okay, Josh, you have 3 minutes. Timekeeper, ready?
Ready.
Fighters ready. Fight.
Yeah, well, just by listening to the judges' panels, I think everybody here is educated enough to where I don't really have to waste a whole lot of time presenting a lot of facts about the man's claims of being having two fight records, one being 33-0, the other being 13-1. That's something that I see as stolen valor. He's made a lot of comments about being too deep in the game to get out, calls himself an amateur manager, a lot of different things. But this is a much bigger issue. That's really all I want to say about this guy, because we've already given him more attention than he's ever had in the fight game in his life, and he's basking in the glory and loving it. And this is a much bigger issue than this one particular individual. The entire definition of and integrity of the amateur status is in question when, for lack of a better term, the inmates are left to run the asylum. Sadly, the end result is that the amateur athletes are the ones who suffer immediately. More impacted, however, is the entire state and future of Florida amateur MMA as we know it. The athletes who put forth all the dedication, commitment, sacrifice, athletes and coaches, really, that make this sport possible are second to none. And if we don't protect them, then that speaks volumes of us as a community of people who are associated with the sport. During our invested time in this sport, each and every one of us makes an impact to varying degrees. It's how what we do will affect and be remembered, that only we have the destiny to change. You know, it really seems to be the theme of the day these days. We want to be involved in MMA. Everyone you meet is a fighter, a coach, a promoter, sanctioning body, et cetera, et cetera. In the past few years, the sport's seen such a growth in our state, as we all know, at the amateur level, and quite frankly, it's not all been for the good. When amateurs contact me with their testimonies of how they've been treated in this sport by people who they thought it had some sort of authority, background, power, et cetera. You know, I hear terrible accounts of amateurs being conned into signing contracts with supposed managers. What they don't know is that these amateur managers aren't licensed as such, nor are they generally held accountable for their actions. A lot of times, these types initially, in some cases, offer money or claim stolen valor in order just to gain trust and get respect. You know, an amateur MMA isn't and shouldn't be just a magnet to guys with no invested interest, love, or history in this sport. A perfect example are all the sanctioned bodies, many of which are owned and operated by people who have no prior experience even ever working for a sanctioned body. Sadly, in most cases, a lot of these types have never officiated MMA, been in the ring, anything like that at all. They mailed in a paper, crossed some T's, dotted some I's, and now they're entrusted with a very inherently dangerous sport. Being as in most cases, they themselves have never been in there as a fighter or officials, they have very little or no experience or respect for the sport and the long-term effects that their actions have on others. You know, it's a sad state of affair, but nothing new. Just like you guys mentioned before, all through time in this sport, you know, mentioned before on this episode, I want to say, all through time in this sport, from state to state, history repeats itself. Basically, bottom line is don't let the man muddy the waters. He's not 33-0. He's not 13-1. Thank you.
Round over.
All right. Excellent job, guys. All right. I appreciate everybody being respectful and letting Josh talk. Now it is round two. And we're ready for, I guess, Daryl to present his fight. Mike, are you ready for round two?
Let's go, baby.
Let's go.
All right, Daryl, are you ready?
Yep.
All right, Josh, please do not interrupt. First time will be a warning. Second time will be disqualified. Josh, do you understand that?
Yes, sir.
Josh, all right.
Yes,
Darryl,
sir. Yes,
ready?
Sir.
Yes.
Darryl, fight.
I'm still trying to figure out what Mr. Josh just said. All I heard was a lot of yumbo-jumbo type shit. Excuse my name. But no, he has all his facts wrong. Everything that he done said, even they said it on Facebook, with no facts at all. Matter of fact, when he called himself trying to do his research on me, he didn't even know my name. Okay? I do come from a big, I've been doing martial arts since I was 6 years old. I started kickboxing as a teen, so I used to get in fights a lot. My trainer at the time, he found me getting in fights and stuff and told me to come down to his gym or whatever and told me, hey, put all that stuff to your work. And his name was Kevin McClinton, who also trained a lot of champions, such as Mayor Petrowski, Jason Robinson, Reginald Givens, all were world champions. And I trained with him for years, number of years. I practically grew up in his gym or whatever. And my first fight was at St. Vitus. I think that was the name of the it was like a school, Catholic school, do a lot of kickboxing events. I had a ton of fights there. The promoter name was Tom Latulli. You guys look that up or whatever. Why my record is not showing on Google, maybe because it was so long ago. Maybe some of the fights I had wasn't sanctioned or whatever. But I know my record. I have all the awards that I had to come with it, belts. I did fight international and a Pan Am Grand, which Mr. Jars said he spoke with my trainer, and my trainer said he didn't know me. I happen to have his number, and you can also give him a call, and he will verify that. And why he's sitting up there, and he told this lie. Nobody had said anything about that once I proved him, because I had one of his butt buddies call. He thought he believed in Josh, where he thought that he could call the guy and think that he was going to get the same response as Josh. But no, he was surprised. He did let the guy know that I did fight in international for him and Pan Am Games. But he didn't happen to know my kickboxing record, because I fought before him and I fought after him in kickboxing. And I also fought at the club. I trained with Shoney Carter. He the one practically got me, introduced me to Bob, where I fought along with him in a lot of clubs and stuff down in the Chicago area. One called Chuck Club Tropicana, who had a lot of kickboxing and no hard holds barred fights, which that's what it was called back in the day, no holds barred. I'm old school. And this guy doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. So what I would like to do is offer a challenge to him so he can see firsthand of what I have. Maybe we can make it a charity event or whatever. But that's what I would like to do. I'm done.
All right. How much time is left? Timekeeper? Timekeeper, how much time is left?
I'm sorry, I don't have a big mouth like this guy. I keep it short.
And Mike, you're through, so.
Time to fall asleep.
Go ahead. We're now. Go ahead and go to the next round. Sorry about that.
All right. So you both had your time to say whatever you wanted. Now you have 3 to 5 minutes to ask and answer questions back and forth. Do not talk over each other. Josh, you'll have the first question, and then Darryl, you can answer after that. Do not swear or use any foul language. I'll give you a warning. If you drop the F-bomb, you're immediately disqualified. Both of you guys understand?
Yes, sir.
Darryl, you understand?
Yeah, I do.
All right. Timekeeper ready?
Yes.
Okay. Good luck, gentlemen. Go.
Hey, Darryl, I did hear your stories of everybody you trained with, as everybody did, but I really never, you know, that's not why we're here. We're here because you claimed, and I just want to ask you again, now that we're here on the air, and, you know, maybe you want to change the story, but you told me before that your kickboxing record was 33-0 and that your MMA record was 13-1. Is that still the story that you're sticking to?
All right, Daryl.
Over. That's the story I am sticking to.
13-1. Okay. Any follow-up questions, Josh? Go.
I really, like, you know, again, this is the most attention this guy's ever had in the sport, and he seems to love it. He's made a lot of statements about, oh, I'm too deep in the game. Like, he thinks this is some kind of fantasy, imaginary mafia world or something. I don't know, but, you know, it's sad because he did, in fact, drop a name. You know, this isn't something I just took off the cuff and ran with, you know, because I do understand that just because your fights are not online doesn't mean that they didn't happen. And I tried to give the benefit of the doubt. The thing about this is that a lot of people contacted me about this guy and others like him, and I did. When I asked him who could verify his record, he dropped the name of somebody whose name I don't want to repeat, but is very legitimate in this sport and a true pioneer, and I did, in fact, contact that person, and that person did, in fact, assure me that that was not his record. I mean, I think throughout the panel of judges, it's pretty simple to see between a guy claiming something like this with a simple Google search or a database. I'm not going to say all his fights were in there, but with a record like that, something would be in there. People would remember it. I mean, I'm really just trying to operate on a basis of reality here,
right,
more
Josh,
than anything.
All right, let Daryl respond.
First of all, I can say the guy name, Master Bob Shermer. Okay, and anybody can feel free to get in contact with him, and he will tell you. Another thing, he did not say that I didn't have him fight. He said he didn't know, he wasn't sure of my record at the time. Because like I said, I fought before him, and I fought after him. Okay,
Bob
anybody
Shermer
can feel free. If you guys would want me to, I can even put the number out. You what, guys want to call? Fine. Go ahead.
All right, Daryl, hold on 1 second just to confirm. You're saying Bob Shermer?
Bob Shermer, Master.
Out of Chicago, Illinois, correct?
Chicago, Illinois.
Okay. Josh, you want to respond?
I'm not really disputing who he trained with or anything that he did in any sports other than a 13-1 MMA record. I mean, that's in a 33-0 kickboxing record. I mean, that's the biggest things that, to me, are pretty cut and dry and didn't really take three-minute rounds for anybody to figure out. You know, some people are drawn to this sport or industry, however you want to look at it, due to delusions of grandeur. You know, they have the impression that this sport that the rest of us know and love so much is a golden opportunity for a get-rich-quick scheme. Others are coaches, martial artists, military, law enforcement, etc., all drawn to the sport for the pure fundamental aspects of the core principles of what this sport's truly based around: courage, integrity, honor, and also compassion for fellow man, in the sense that we preserve the integrity of our sport by passing
right,
down
Josh,
the experience of knowledge.
Daryl,
yes, sir.
Let Daryl respond now.
The thing is, what Mr. Josh is trying to do, he's trying to gain his attention. He do see that I'm getting big and getting up into the sport. So he figured he'd come down here and try to degrade me in some type of way just to get out there to get his own attention. It's not right. You know, everything he's saying is no facts. There's no facts to anything he's saying. And I'm sorry. I mean, like I said, I told Mike Goodson, I wasn't really ready for the show. I could have even got prepared even more, even had even more people come on here. But like a man, I came on here to state my claim. But, yes, I have had that. Like I said, I'm sorry that Google wasn't that popular at that time, or neither were YouTube. So, and neither was I. I wasn't even into computers at that time. But
okay.
I can't assure you that I did have too many fights, and my record is nothing compared to a lot of my trainer buddies.
Okay. Josh, go ahead and respond.
Yes, sir. Here's the thing is that I totally understand, because I started fighting at the same time that this guy says he started fighting at. And as a matter of fact, the referee on the phone right now, Ross Kellen, refereed me in fights that, in fact, are not online. Point being, these things can be found out with a few simple phone calls. Thank you guys for the opportunity. Frauds and fakes, busted here weekly. Hit me up.
All right, good job, guys.
That was the end of the match, and I'm going to take the judges behind the panel.
Wait a minute, was it my turn? Wasn't it my turn? I was last.
Well, go ahead, we'll give you the last thing since we got started.
Mike?
Go ahead, Dale.
Okay, my question is this, you know, like I said, what I'm doing, I've been doing what I'm doing for 4 years. And, you know, for me to bring up some stuff that didn't happen 20 years ago, it's definite, you know. Whatever happened, whatever this guy thinks, I'm still going to do what I'm doing. If he's trying to degrade me or try to want to do, get my shit and just pack them and just skip my language and just leave the sport, no, that's not going to happen, you know. But what I did offer was a challenge for me and him. He already challenged me to fight in his parking lot, but I'm not going to do that. I would like to challenge him to some type of event. It could be charitable or anything. I don't care if it's a mat, a ring, or a cage. As long as there's people there and a camera there.
Hey.
And then we can do our thing.
Ref, do I get to come back, referee?
Oh, you got timekeeper. Give me 15 seconds.
Listen, it's one thing to call out a dude that retired in 2009. That ain't nothing, number one. Number two, how could that even happen even if I had? One of us has a pro record that's verifiable, and the other doesn't even have an amateur fight you can pull up. And as far as me calling you out to fight in the parking lot, no, it's because you went and running your mouth the same way you are now, want to call me out like I'm a punk. I never ducked anybody, and there's not a promoter in this state that'll say that.
Stop.
You want to call me out, then swing in the parking lot or wherever you see me. Don't let nothing stop you. Thank you.
Well, I'm not trying to go to jail. I want everybody to see it. I just want to prove my point. And, yes, we did start at the same time, and I'm also retired. I'm ready to come out of retirement just to do this.
All right, guys, let the judges make their decisions. And then if we don't agree with it, if you guys don't agree with it, we can, of course, schedule a rematch. You guys both did excellent, and I appreciate both of you guys being respectful on the phone and to the radio show. Mike
and
Tuso, it's all yours.
Mike's on the phone with the judges right now. Thank you. Thank you, Ross, for doing such a good job.
Thank you, Stacey. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you're an awesome ref. And I appreciate Josh. I appreciate Josh, and I appreciate Daryl coming on here and, you know, airing their dirty laundry on here, but I think it needed to happen. There's a lot of stuff going on Facebook and a lot of accusations.
Well, I stand behind the truth, man.
Well, I have one thing to say. My 33-0 record was not pro. And that's what he keeps trying to say. It wasn't pro. It was amateur.
I never said the word pro or amateur. Neither did you. I never asked.
Hey, guys.
They didn't have amateurs
Josh
back then.
Josh and Daryl, here's what we can do, guys. Listen, I can. Do you want to send me the phone numbers to call? I'll verify myself. You know,
yeah,
that's pretty much how it's going to get done. Hold on. Daryl, they got to be legit numbers where I can verify who they are, you know?
So, I mean, is this what the judge's decision is?
Exactly. And, you know, if it comes to be undecided where there wasn't enough time and, you know, 15 minutes, then...
You got to be kidding me.
No, I don't know.
Mike is talking to the judges right now.
Okay, so none of what we're hearing is an official.
Right,
let's wait until the judges come back before we start making plans to be verifying records, because it may not be.
I know. I'm saying we're just throwing the ifs out there. You know, just passing time on the radio, I suppose.
Yeah, but that's what got this whole thing started, is somebody throwing ifs out there.
I know you guys could probably have
my
a whole hour on
you
here.
You didn't know me and stuff like that. So you've been lying all along. You know, what
guys,
type of question?
Listen, I'm going to put you guys on mute. The judges, the decision is in right now, so we're going to get you guys back online and let the announcer.
Yeah, guys, Daryl, you guys already had your fight. So now it's just the judges. If you guys disagree with the fight, we can schedule a rematch.
Kevin, go ahead and announce.
Ladies and gentlemen, after three grueling rounds of ass whooping, the judges decided it is a majority draw.
Oh my God.
God. And if this ain't some promoter trick right here, man, come on, dude.
He's going to stalk my page, whatever. Get his buddies to stalk my page, you know.
Well, hey, man, that's a win right there. Look, he's 33-0, and one now, right, Daryl? There you go, man. You done got you a win, dog. That's as close as you'll get to a win in any kind of world of some internet radio show.
The way you're slappy ass.
Hey,
right?
Josh, you won by majority decision.
Oh, I won by majority decision.
Ain't that nothing? This is a draw. How they do that?
Just said it was a draw, man. What kind of organization are we running here?
Crazy, man. This is crazy.
A majority draw,
Mike said. He's losing his mind. Listen, guys, we're running out of time.
All right, Mike. Thanks for letting me be on your show, man. You
guys, we appreciate everybody coming on tonight. And again, Josh and Daryl, if you guys want to email me your contacts through the contact to verify, I'll do it.
I'll do that.
Thank you, everybody. The judges, the refs, Josh, Daryl.
Majority draw.
Thanks, guys.
A majority draw.
Josh, Daryl, Mike, Daniel, Russell.
We'll see you guys next week.
See you guys
later. Thanks for listening.
You guys take it easy.
Everybody grab a beer.